This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is the LGBT podcast. Sunny, Dave, and Steve are awesome.
So, Dave is right. Decisions are terrible things to have to make. I signed up for Audible, like I said I was going to the other day, and I went to nerdlegion.com and clicked on the Audible link. Instead of getting one credit for one book, I got two credits. Now, I'd already made a decision the other day to do Ready Player One because the movie's coming out. I'd read the book, and I wanted to hear the audio version done by Will Wheaton because Dave said it's super good, and I thought I'd give it a try. But then I was placed with the dilemma of, okay, I've got a second book to choose. And it killed me for a long time. But I finally decided I'm going to go with R.A. Salvatore's The Crystal Shard. And the reason I'm doing it is because it's the 30th anniversary of its publication. It came out in 1988. It's the first book that Salvatore had published. But it's the fourth book, if you go the way they number them now, in the Driss Jordan series. And forgive me if I'm butchering the names. I am a butcher of names. I just read it and that's the way it sounds in my head. So there. So yeah, it was really that easy. And, you know, a lot of these books cost $18 a pop if you want the audio version. And, you know, the way I justified it is it's going to be $14.95 a month if I decide to keep using Audible. And I kind of think I might because you get to keep these books forever. And I'm looking forward to it, jumping into these. I ended up doing The Crystal Shard. Another reason is because it's fantasy. And the first book, Ready Player One, kind of could be construed as science fiction. It's kind of a futuristic sci-fi book. Well, I wanted to balance that with my love for fantasy books, too. And looking forward to that. But that's not what I'm doing here today. Is a sci-fi themed episode, and we're going to be looking to the stars and beyond. Or can you look beyond the stars? I don't know. Well, anyhow, let's get going. Okay, so welcome to another bonus episode of 2BT, the Reading Room. This just Michael here, and I've been thinking about this for a while. I kind of wanted to look at three science fiction series that I've read recently. Well, two that I've read and been reading, and one that I just started, and kind of look at the similarities and the differences, and look at how the authors have used a similar backdrop to paint their picture, but they've all three came out with very different stories. All very good, but very different also. And beginning end of last year, at Dave's recommendation, I started reading, and I think Martin recommended it also, the John Scalzi, and forgive me if I'm not saying his name correctly, I never heard it pronounced, you know, by him or anybody that knows him, the John Scalzi series, the Old Man's War series. And I've only read three of the books, the first three books. The first book is Old Man's War, second book, Ghost Brigades, and the third book, The Lost Colony. And so I just kind of want to do a little bit of a summary about what those are about. Now, I guess you'd categorize Old Man's War as military science fiction. The first book came out in 2005. It was Scalzi's first published novel. And he got nominated for a Hugo Award in 2006 for it. And basically, the premise is this. When you reach 75, it's set in the future, begins on Earth. It starts out really sad. And you meet a gentleman named John Perry. He's a 75-year-old gentleman. And his wife has died. Now, in this future time, we have, as a species, moved beyond Earth and are populating other planets. And at the same time, we've also realized that there is a vast, vast diversity of other species of peoples populating the universe that are also pushing and finding planets and colonizing them. And basically, we're in competition with them to spread and maintain control over the different planets, because there are only a certain number of planets that are suitable for sustaining life. So here's the thing. Once you reach 75, you have an option to join the Colonial Defense Forces. And they're basically the entity that goes out and protects human interplanetary colonists as they spread out. The catch is you're giving up your life on Earth. You're not coming back here. And pretty much you are locked into a contract where you belong to them for a period of time. Here's the catch. You're 75 years old. You're presented with this opportunity. What do you get out of it, though? I mean, basically, the odds are really high that you're going to die, because you're constantly in a state of war against different competing peoples that want the same thing you do. They want to find places so that they can set up their own colonies. Well, here's the catch. Basically, in exchange for your service, they have developed this way of using enhanced DNA and nanotechnology. Basically, they make a body, a new body for you that is super strong, super fast, great endurance, and you're also, I don't want to give up too much away. Let's just say there are lots of benefits of it. One of the only catches is, I think you're green. You have green skin and yellow cat-like eyes, but you don't know that until later. So I don't want to give too much away. And basically, the first book follows John as he goes through this process of joining the Colonial Defense Forces. And really, it is just that. It's him, and it's one of those stories where he's the guy that always knows how to make the right decisions. And he gets recognized for it, and he advances. But also, he becomes... what would you call it? Kind of suspicious about some things as time goes on. But it's a really good book, really quick paced. And one thing Scalzi does in this series is he really, really has a diverse alien population. A lot of diversity. Another interesting thing is the humans find out quickly that they are not the top of the food chain. There are lots of other alien peoples that are a lot more advanced and have a lot more skills and abilities than humans do. But one of the things that Scalzi shows is we are really good at adapting and learning from other peoples. So that's the first book. I'm trying to avoid giving too many spoilers, so I will add one more thing. One of the things is they don't change your body when you become a member of the defense forces. They actually have learned how to transfer your consciousness into this new, basically grown body that's enhanced and has special abilities that kind of makes you a superhero compared to normal humans, which feeds into the next book, The Transference of Consciousness. And it's kind of similar to the second series in that human, the Red Rising series that I'm going to talk about, where humanity eventually learns how to mess with DNA so much that they create different caste systems of people that have certain special abilities. And one more thing, the first book is written in the first person, is told from the point of view of John Perry. Now, the second book, Ghost Brigades, and I'm not going to go into greater detail, you learn it's a third-person narrative, and it follows not John Perry, but another person that you meet in the first book, and her interactions with something called the Ghost Brigades. Now, the Ghost Brigades are something that the Colonial Defense Forces in the first book have heard about, but they're rarely seen or interacted with. And basically, they're the special forces of the Colonial Defense Forces. There's a lot of weirdness associated with who they are, and I really can't get into it too much other than one of the central storylines is the fact that one of the top consciousness transfer experts that they have is suspected of being in cahoots with some enemy aliens and helping them with some things that really threatens humanity. And it's a very involved story about trying to figure out and stop some really big problems that are developing in the universe. Oh, and that's another thing. The other two books that, as far as I know so far, Scalzi really, he takes the entire universe into his toolbox, and he can just go anywhere. The Red Rising series, and as far as I know, I'm not very far into it, the Expanse series, we stay here in our own little neighborhood of our galaxy, our solar system. So that's that. And then on the third book, we get to the Lost Colony. It's kind of a, gives a little bit of a nod to the Roanoke colony, the Lost Colony in American history. And we get to return to the narrative, first person narrative of John Perry. And again, he's faced with some really difficult decisions. This is him post career in the defense forces, and so yeah, I don't want to give too much away about what happens. I really, really liked the first and third book the best because of the story, the way that Scalzi tells it in the first person. It keeps it more personal. It's really good. His writing's good, fast-paced, and he knows how to really evolve the story. Second book, there is a little bit of a drag in it where it's a little bit too much information, kind of information dumps. But as a whole, I really liked this series, and someday I hope to return and read some more of the books because there are several more that he's written. And I definitely give it a thumbs up. I know Dave really enjoyed it. So go give it a chance. If it sounds like something you'd be interested in, definitely give it a shot because I think it's worth it. Okay, let's see. Where was I? So I know I didn't do it justice, but I really think that the Old Man's War series is really good, and I'm looking forward to reading some of the other books in the future. But, you know, I get grabbed and kind of follow one thing to another, and this next series is the reason I didn't pursue any more of it. The Red Rising series. Dave introduced me to it. It's by a gentleman named Pierce Brown. This one just grabbed me. I really enjoyed the Old Man's War series, but this one, something about it, I believe it, we've talked a lot about it on the podcast, Dave and I and Steven. There are now four books in the trilogy. That's a lame joke. It was originally a trilogy. It's currently four books, and he's working on more. And the titles of them are starting with Red Rising, followed by Golden Sun, Morning Star, and the newest book that just came out this year is Iron Gold. And it's just a great series. It's talking about how the pace of a book and how compelling it is to move forward. He leaves you with cliffhanger after cliffhanger. And the way that he blends things from our past Roman and Greek culture and different cultures across the world and creates this new version of humanity that uses that as kind of, how would you say, they structure themselves based on what they think things were like in the past, I guess, Roman, Greek mythology. And they create gods out of themselves using DNA manipulation. And they create, if you are meant to be a lowly worker, they make it to where you're marked from birth by your color. I can't really do justice to the books. So yeah, I highly recommend that. It's got a blend of fantasy and science fiction. And there, whereas Old Man's War series deals with the idea of conflict with alien species, alien races, our conflict is made and created and maintained kind of constantly by ourselves. As far as I can remember, I don't remember any mention of any aliens other than the ones we make out of ourselves, the differences we create out of ourselves, and the conflict that we create. And our galaxy is big. And it deals with the fact that to get to the outer rim planets, it's a long expanse, a big distance. And that kind of plays into the Lex series, the Expanse series. But before I get to that, I just want to kind of re-summarize what Red Rising series is about. Humanity moves out, starting with on the moon, and begins colonizing the other planets and moons in our galaxy. And our solar system, I should say. And to do that, they need people to work. So they start with the Reds. They're the miners. It starts on Mars, where they, for hundreds and hundreds of years, they've been told that what the Reds are doing, they've been told that they are working to provide the future survival of humanity. Well, turns out they've just been enslaved. And yeah, humanity has thrived and spread to all the different planets. And these people have never gotten to share in the fruits of their labors. They're still being used as slaves. And then there's other classes above them. Everybody has their own little caste where they have to serve, supposedly for the good of humanity as a whole, but really it's at the leisure of the Golds, who are pretty much, they seem like they're unstoppable. They're bigger, stronger. They've got money and wealth and power. And these people band together with using a young man named Darrow. And the beginning of the book is heartbreaking about why he ends up getting involved. And it kind of charts his work to integrate himself into Gold Society through a really painful procedure. And he works with a lot of people to break the system and try to create something else. And Iron Gold starts up several years after the end of the third book, and kind of shows you the aftermath that, yeah, it's not all happy endings just because you get what you want. It's hard to maintain something. It's hard to create stability and fulfill all the promises you make for something that you work so hard for. The aspirations and intentions were good, but when you're dealing with millions of people, it's really hard to keep things in order and keep everybody happy and safe. And Darrow and his compatriots learn that the hard way, and things fall apart really quick. So I can't recommend that. I can't give enough recommendations for this book. It's great. I can't wait to see what happens in the next one that comes out in September. He's on a fast publication schedule. He has a rabid fan base. Go check out, what's the website? Let me think. PierceBrownBooks.com. And there's some great art that kind of illustrates what the characters look like. Love that series. But it's mostly, as far as comparisons goes, yeah, the conflicts that we have are ones between just humans themselves. It's more fantasy. The people are able to do things that are superhuman and are more radical than, more pretty close along the lines of what you expect from the Federation forces in Old Man's War series, but to an more extreme level. And I don't know, just check it out. It's pretty good. Okay, the newest series that I've just started, and I'm just getting into it, but I couldn't resist bringing it up because it's so good. It also deals with our colonization of the solar system and what happens in the future, how we adapt to living in space. It's by, and I'd heard about this before, I'd listened to there's two authors, Daniel Abraham and Ty Frank, co-write this series of books that's already up to 7 novels, and I believe at least 2 more are planned, and they write under the pen name James S.A. Corey. And the first book that I've started recently is Leviathan Wakes, came out in 2011, and they've got other books in the series that follow that are Caliban's War, Abaddon's Gate, Cibola Burn, Nemesis Games, Babylon's Ashes, and Persepolis Rising? I probably got that wrong. And then, like I said, 2 more books coming out. There's a TV series that I have not watched that I want to that's based on it. And I tried to explain it to Dave and Steve the other day, and I've just started it, so I'm probably gonna miss some things and mess some things up. But we've colonized most of the solar system in the future. There is no interstellar travel. In this future, Mars is independent of Earth and is its own military. They have their own agenda. And then you go out towards the outer rim. There are bases out there for mining. I don't really know if there are aliens in this series, because right now everything I've seen is has to do with just a couple of with humans, and really it's kind of like you're dealing with a missing person case. And one thing, you got a guy named Miller who's a belter. That's what they call people that are born and grew up in outer, not on Earth. He works for a Star Helix security firm that pretty much acts as a police force. He's tasked with finding a missing daughter of a wealthy family from Earth. And there's also a mystery involving a sudden attack on Ice Hauler. They haul ice from the Outer Rim to supply water to the people on other planets. And then you're following a small crew of people led by a guy named Holden, who survives that attack. And right now, I'm just getting into it. And again, I'm not going to do justice to it. But this, I can tell just right from the beginning, this series is really, really, really going to be really good. The writing is spot on. It really gives you that feel of the characters, the situations that they're in. It's kind of a interesting take. I don't see where anybody in this is got any exceptional abilities. It seems like it's pretty well grounded in how things might be if we ever did move out into the solar system, you know. And I know that Red Rising pretty much isn't, but, and I'm not real sure about whether you'd classify any of these books as like hard science fiction, where it's grounded in and real possibility. And I can't speak on that, but I do know that if the writer can convince me that he believes it enough that these things are possible, I can go with it. But this one seems really, really well thought out. I'm just really interested in seeing where all the little tiny plot lines, because you can see them being pulled by the writers, where they're going to kind of head towards. And for crying out loud, if 9 books in the series, and they're not little books, they're big books, I'm just really curious about where this is going to go. And I can't thank the people that recommended it to me enough for suggesting it, because this is going to be a good one. Of the 3 series that I was talking about in this recording, it's probably the most realistic, I would say. And then I'd say that Red Rising is probably the most fantastic. And Old Man's War series, though maybe grounded in some real science, it's also kind of fantastic if you look into the concept of that, you're actually going to be growing bodies and transferring consciousness. But they're all good. They all deal with the future of humanity and the things that we might face, the troubles we might cause for ourselves. It's really interesting. We're the space invaders in the future, and not necessarily really having to worry that much about people invading us, except for in the Old Man's War series, there is the threat of that. But in the other 2 books, really, we're the threat to the solar system and to ourselves. But I really enjoyed reading the first 2 series, Old Man's War and Red Rising. I look forward to getting back into them. But right now, the Expanse series is really where I'm going to be diving into, at least until September, when the next Red Rising book comes out. So if any of these sound good to you, go give them a shot. Give them a check. Check them out. Don't ever read anything I recommend. Just don't spend money on it. If you got it like a Kindle, you can get a free preview of for most books on a Kindle. I'm sure that you can find reviews and other people's recommendations about these books too. But I don't hesitate to recommend any of these to anybody. So that's going to be it. You can reach 2BT Show at 2BT, that's the number 2, capital B, capital T, small, lowercase show, at 2BT show at Twitter. And, adios. If you can bear a cross, you can wear no crown. If you can bear a cross, you can wear no crown.